Hi, I'm Mallory Campbell, certified master coach, here to show women how to become the fully activated, sovereign, quantum queens of their own life. And welcome to my podcast, Permission to Activate. On this show, you'll learn how to reclaim your true identity, shed the self-limiting beliefs standing in your way, do the work, and step into becoming a fully embodied woman changing the world. It starts with giving yourself permission. Permission to be imperfect, to own your brilliance, to not have all the answers, to be more than a wife or a mom, to let go of negative energy and sometimes people, to shine more brightly, all to support you activating into who you truly are. Are you ready to paint your vision for an authentic life on your terms and finally fully embody it? You have permission. Let's activate.
Welcome, everybody. I'm so excited that all of you are here. Hey, Allison, I just don't want to have to yell over the music. Oh, can you hit the music for me?
Thank you.
I want to wait until the music's down. Thank you guys so much for coming. This is a really special night. From all of the vendors who are here, Pretty Pieces, Happiness, we have our charm bracelets, our hair glitter lights, right? And then ear piercing with Jess as well, all very special people in the community. And it just really means a lot that all of you guys are here, especially attending the event as well. In your gift bags, you'll find a lot of other business cards. Whoa, did this go off too?
Yep.
Can we turn the microphone back on?
Smile.
She's doing it, okay. There we go, okay. We were gonna try to do it without the microphone. Can you hear it without the microphone, or do you like the microphone? We like the microphone. Can we turn up the microphone a little bit? She's trying. Okay, we'll get there.
It sounds right.
It sounds right. Like I want everybody to be able to hear.
Can you turn it off and then turn it back on?
The old reset?
Yeah,
sure.
The old reset.
It's on.
It's on. It's just not very loud yet. Yeah. I'll just yell as loud as I can. And then a couple of our donation items from our sponsors, our beautiful backdrop. Where is she? Is she still here? D2 events. And then, oh, there she is. She's behind Trevor. I can't see you. And then our floral arrangement. You guys have your books in your bag. And then many other women-owned businesses provided cards and discounts and offers and a whole bunch of amazing things in there. So make sure to take a good look at your bag. There's some really, really awesome stuff in there. I want to thank Jamie right here. You guys all know, most of you know her brand photo. Jamie's doing our photos. Trevor, the only other man in the room tonight. So thank you. My husband is also here, the hype man. So he'll be kind of chilling in the back if you didn't get to see him yet. And then the reason that we're here is for Jessica. So I would love to introduce and welcome into the room Jessica Zweig.
Yay.
It is. I am going to read her bio because it's so incredible and I don't want to mess it up, and we can kind of share the microphone back and forth, but we'll do our best. So Jessica Zweig has been described as a voice of her time by Marian Williamson and a personal branding expert by Forbes. As a serial entrepreneur, Jessica founded 3 businesses and recently sold her Simply Be agency that I know a lot of you guys are familiar with. And she was basically the nation's premier personal branding company, and I have firsthand experience with that. She is the one who helped me with the Permission to Activate brand and podcast and all of those incredible things. Her first book, B, did anyone read that or listen to it? I know a lot of people have in this room. That is one of my all-time favorite books. I recommend it almost to every person that I work with as well because it is so, so, so powerful. And the reason we're here, The Light Work, her brand new book. So I'm so excited for all of you to have that in your hands. She's also the host of the Spiritual Hustler podcast and has been just touched so many huge companies in the personal branding space. And after her trip to Egypt, you guys will hear about it in the book. You will see an incredibly new side that some of you might not know. And that's ultimately what drew me to Jessica. I was listening to her podcast a year and a half ago now. And this is the power of listening to one podcast episode and how it can change your life. I heard at the end of the podcast, she had one spot left for her retreat. And I'm like, it's mine. I booked the next call the very next day. I told my husband, I'm like, that's my spot. I'm going on it. It doesn't matter. I booked the very first call she had. And since then, we've had an incredible journey and friendship. And that's just the power of being in community and taking that leap and going all in on yourself, because it has truly changed my life. It was part of those wouldn't it be cool if moments. Years ago, I was thinking, I was reading B, and I'm like, wouldn't it be really cool if one day I could work with her? And now we're here. So it's just the power of one choice can truly change the trajectory of your life. So I wanted to lead everybody in a quick practice before we get into all of this goodness over here, because she's going to share all about her story and some amazing takeaways. But just to center ourselves in this space, is anyone feeling any anxiety or from, okay, a couple of us, yes, thank you, radical honesty, thank you guys. So if you guys want to close your eyes just for a moment, yeah, high five, girl, that's what it's all about, yeah, anxiety, woo-hoo! I feel you, girl, I feel you. Anxiety, you know, come together. All right, so if you guys just want to close your eyes just for a moment, take in a deep breath through your nose. Slowly exhale through your mouth, letting go of any tension. Yeah, let it out. Anything that you're holding, a couple more deep breaths in through the nose. And just exhale. Yes, that was beautiful. Let's do one more. Deep inhale in, filling your lungs. And just exhale, releasing anything that feels heavy or distracting. And just allow yourself to center into the space, feeling the gravity of the chair, feeling the floor beneath your feet. And just start to imagine a warm golden light at the top of your head. And with each breath, just feel this light gently moving all the way down through your body from the top of your head all the way down to your toes. Relaxing every muscle that golden light touches. And just let it flow from your forehead, softening your eyes, softening your jaw. Let it flow through your shoulders, all of that tension and weight that we love to carry as women. Allow that just to melt into the chair and into the space. Just releasing any tension that's present. And as that golden light moves through you, feel it activating your energy, awakening something deep within. Let it ignite a sense of vibrancy and power inside of you, opening yourself up to receive and feel the support and feel the love in this room expanding into your heart center. With every breath, just feel that heart center open. There's nothing more powerful than being in a room of women who are ready to receive and hold your vision and see your light within, and just feel the connection of that golden thread, not only your internal thread, but the thread that connects all women, and how powerful we are. And as this night continues, just keep coming back to that golden light, feeling it within, feeling it in your heart center, feeling more connected to the energy within and with all the women around you. And take one final deep breath in, and just let everything out that's not serving you today. Beautiful. And when you're ready, you can come back to the space. Yes, I feel better. So selfishly, I feel better. So thank you all for that practice. And I want to just open up the space to Jessica and let you all in to hear a little bit about her story, how she's navigated through the last couple years of your lives, and just anything that you're called to share about yourself.
Well, thank you again for being here tonight, ladies. You could do a lot with your Friday, and just the fact that you've chosen to show up is just so deeply received. And there is nothing better, like Mal said, than being in spaces with women who are here to go deeper with one another. And I'm just deeply honored to be up here sharing my story, and hopefully we all walk away with a deeper connection to our light. So when Mallory reads out my bio, you know, I hear that bio, and it's always so, in a way, strange to receive, because it's like, yeah, that was me, that is me, that's that girl. And I've been an entrepreneur for 15 years, and climbing the ladder of success, chasing my ambitions and my dreams. And about two and a half years ago in 2022, after I had built my agency, my Simply Be agency that I ended up selling, it's important to note that when I started that company, I was broke. I was in net negative credit card debt. I had no money at all and just an idea, and it exploded, and it exploded really fast. And I got really hooked on like the dopamine hit, you know, of success and achievement and accolades, and I started winning awards and getting recognized by things like Forbes, and I just kept chasing up that mountain even faster. And I like to say that 2022 was the summit of that mountain that I was climbing. And I want you all to just imagine your own personal, beautiful, fragile body of flesh, skin, and bones sprinting up a mountain for 5 years in a row without a break. Yeah, I see that face. You would crash, right? You would eventually fall down. And I was just so consumed by, you know, I went from one woman, no money, to 30 people. I had a 30-person team, two offices serving thousands of clients. I had launched my first book, B. I was working 100-hour weeks. I was the podcast host, the speaker, the leader, the firer, the business development lead, the client manager. It was my whole life was that business. And I found myself in 22 burnt out. Not just the burnout you see on Instagram, but like physically, mentally, emotionally, creatively burnt out and diagnosed with depression. And I couldn't leave my house for like months. I couldn't shower. It was like the big, beautiful, bright yellow, sparkly girl on Instagram was like wanting to die inside. And I found myself getting on an airplane the end of that year, very serendipitously, to Egypt. And I traveled the world. I've been to a million countries, not a million, like quite a few, a couple dozen, but not a million countries. But
no big deal.
That's another planet that I'm probably from. Truly. So, you know, I get on this plane to Egypt, and I say that I went on that plane to Egypt, and 15 days later flew home and left that girl there. And there are things that happen to you in that country that sound crazy. Probably if you know me, they don't, because I believe in all this stuff, but it's real, whether you are into the spiritual world or not, or you've ever done psychedelic medicine or not, like these things in this country are real, that happen to you mentally, visually, psychedelically, audibly. And what really led me here, and this is really the point of I wanted to dive in with you today and all of us, I had this experience at the Temple of Dendera, which is the temple of Hathor. It's my girl. And she is the goddess of bliss. Okay, the goddess of bliss. And I walked into one of her chambers by myself, and I pressed my whole body up against her walls. And these walls are vibrating with like ancient information. They're alive, these walls. And I closed my eyes, and I got struck by what could only be described as white lightning. It hit my whole auric field, and my whole body expanded beyond that temple, beyond the planet, and I started hearing all of these voices. And I'm pretty clairaudient. Like, I get downloads like we probably all do. I'd never heard spirit speak to me that clearly in my life, and there was many voices. They were like, she's open, we've got to get this information in. And they said many things to me in that moment that I will obviously never forget. They're written about extensively in my book. But one of the biggest messages that I took away, which was the entire headline of the trip to Egypt, which was my entire death and ego and identity death, it all came down to that one message, which was that this human experience is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fucking fun. Like, you missed the plot, girl. You've been chasing, outsourcing, projecting, winning, and the memo is to actually take every single moment of every single day of your life as a cherished gift, to not take anything for granted. They were like, you get to have sex in a human body. You get to wear a cute outfit. You get to travel to places like Egypt. You get to eat chocolate and have dogs and kiss them and follow a purpose if you want to. Like, what a gift it is to be a human being, and you're fucking missing it. And so I'm really here in my own journey to commit to joy is my job. But I do believe that we have to, not always, but like I say this in the book, our greatest light is found in our darkest of depths, and to not be afraid to go in and face your own shadows. And that was really the undoing of my identity that had been, you know, pretty hooked into the shadowy stories as the end. And so I'm really excited to talk about whatever you guys want to talk about today, because Mallory's got some really great questions, and as you can already tell, I'm an open book. And that's the real, I think, main point of the last 2 years.
It's such a beautiful story, and I love every time you tell it, it is like an activation hearing about this trip and everything that you've experienced, and it's very inspirational, I know, for me, and I'm guessing for a lot of you to hear this as well, because coming from a background of personal branding, it's almost, when you look at it, it's like the duality of hardcore personal branding in people's businesses, and then you go on this experience, and it's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. This is completely a 180 of what it was. So I would love for you to expand a little bit, especially if any women in here are going through an identity. I've talked to a lot of you about your identity shifting and you're expanding and you're not really sure what's on the other side, because what you knew in your case is personal branding and being in the business and now leaning into this whole other part of yourself. What would you say to somebody, you know, maybe you're not going to Egypt and having this same experience, but if you're in the middle of this unknown transition, what would you say to somebody in a similar situation? Yeah.
So I think it's really, we've all talked about boundaries, right? I don't like to use the term boundaries, although I love that term, I do. I like to use the term sacred lines. They're just, it's more sovereign and loving towards yourself than like externally, you know, reactive. And I don't think that, it's funny, you bring up personal branding as the thing that I was, and I very much still am. I teach personal branding. I'm a coach for female entrepreneurs. I helped Mallory. Personal branding, I would always say, is an inside job first before you can externally project who you're going to be in the world and what other people see. It doesn't start on Instagram. It starts in your soul. And to really do the deep inner work to know yourself, to believe in yourself, to trust yourself, to be seen in the light in the first place is the game. And so I would say that we don't prioritize stillness enough and being with ourselves enough and cultivating a relationship with yourself enough. I have a chapter in my book about love, about romantic relationships. And spoiler alert, if you haven't read the book yet, that whole chapter is actually not about boyfriends and partners and husbands. It's about falling in love with yourself, that you are your own greatest love, and you always get to be the main character of your life if you choose to put yourself first. And so I would say, you know, when I came home from Egypt and I was going through my identity death and had to reconstruct my life, I literally put time on my calendar every single week to just be bored. Like, it was a practice to sit in my own thoughts, to be outside, put my feet on the ground, slow down. And that's another thing I write about and very much believe, that we're all so hooked into the busyness. Like, we wear it as a badge of honor. We're conditioned, especially as women, to run at the pace of men. And I love you, Jeremy, and I love you, Trevor, but like, we aren't designed to live and work like that. We're living in a patriarchal system that was literally written by men for men. And so we feel like there's something wrong with us if we want to slow down, if we feel like we need to draw those sacred lines, that we're being a diva if we don't want to be around anyone. I'm like, no, those are all projections and paradigms that have been placed upon us to literally hate ourselves and feel that way about other women and judge other women for doing that. So I would say just start by really getting in touch with yourself. If you can't go to Egypt, go to the spa. Like, seriously, hire a therapist and like get in touch with your inner child and your trauma. I mean, it's all the subconscious material that has probably led you to a place in your life where you don't feel like you're truly being yourself, because it's probably not yours. And so where do you find what's yours? You find it in stillness, breathwork practices, meditation, going into communities like this with other women, like Mallory's hosting a retreat in November. You know, coming to an event like this, in seeing yourself in other women's stories and pain, and that becomes the lubricant, if you will, the permission slip to like start to ask deeper questions in a safe space, and making sure that the safest space of all is you. So
it's so beautiful, and we're going to open it up to question and answer here in a little bit. So if you do have questions or comments or things coming up for you, if you want to write them down or kind of just keep them in here, that you'll be able to answer, because we're going to open it up here in a minute. But I loved what you were sharing, and a lot of it, what I was hearing you say, comes down to a self-worth piece, if anyone has ever struggled with that, not feeling enough or worthy enough, even just coming in rooms like this. Like, some of us had anxiety coming here, and it's like, do I fit in? Who am I going to talk to? Where am I going to sit? I don't know if I know anybody. I'm going to be by myself. And that hit some deeper wounding that I have had to work through and process. So if you are feeling that way, you're not alone. I'll be the first to admit, like, all of those things are still, you know, in there, and we're working through them. But for anybody who is going through that process of really figuring out what it means to have self-worth, yeah, and what it means to feel enough, and if you get activated or triggered, we love to use that word, you know, when it comes to that worthiness piece, how would you speak to that? Can you speak a little bit more on that?
Yeah. So one of my favorite chapters in the book is called Power, Chapter 4, called Claiming Radical Responsibility. And yes, it's about claiming radical responsibility for our own shittiness and mistakes and darkness, because no one's perfect, and we have to own that side of ourselves to alchemize. But it's also about owning the parts of us that are incredible and one of a kind. And I have this story in the book, and I've told this often, and anytime I get asked about like imposter syndrome and unworthiness, I'm always brought back to the moment when I had just started my company. I was, again, net negative, was starting to build my little client book, and I had like, you know, a couple little small business clients, and I got a meeting with this huge client, this massive tech CEO who had just raised $50 million, and they were looking to build the CEO's personal brand. And so they brought me in. I'll never forget this. It was like a big glistening wooden conference table in his office, his territory, and I step in and I sit down, and he's got this background in like AI and like big data and transportation technology. And he goes first, of course, because he's the, you know, client. Tell me about you. So he launches into his story, and he's talking for like 20 minutes straight, and I am like about to throw up in my mouth. Like, I'm like, what am I fucking doing here? There's no way I can help this guy. Like, he's so much smarter than me. I don't belong here. I am an imposter. I'm just this one-woman consultancy trying to get business. So he was done talking, and it was finally my turn to tell him my story. And I had no choice but to tell him who I was and what I had done. And, you know, I have a background in social media and marketing and branding, and I've, you know, worked with a, you know, handful of activations and events and brands, and have a background in PR. And the whole time I'm talking, I'm like sweating. He starts leaning in, and he's looking at me like fascinated, and his eyes are widening, and he's like, wow. He knew nothing about what I did. I was a whole other world to him. And I realized that I was never gonna have what that guy had. But he was never gonna have what I had. And he hired me. And he was my longest standing client for 6 years. And I not to say that I don't struggle with imposter syndrome, I got nervous before I came here. You know, I'm like, I hope they like me. You know, I'm not kidding. Every day, you know, I love you guys. I'm very, you know, no matter how often we get to, you know, those points of success where we feel like, okay, we got it, there's always that part of us that questions it. And the flex is to just show up anyway, because that's the muscle that you've got to build that confidence. It's like going to the gym. You don't lift a muscle once and like, I'm buff. You go every day. You show up to the plate of your life every day and trust that there is no one but you in this world, because that is scientifically true. There's 8 billion people. No one has the exact DNA that you have. That makes you a gift. And do you feel that way all the time? No, but that's the truth. And I want to acknowledge that it's even harder today when we're living on our screens, watching everyone else's lives. And that is a highlight reel, let me tell you. Right? You don't see when I'm fighting with my husband. You don't see when Mallory's having a shitty day. You see the best. It's an illusion. And so to really ground yourself in that and like check yourself in that and trust, I don't care what you've done in your career, how old you are, what you look like, there, no one has your childhood history, your schooling, your resume, your successes. If you've gotten fired, you got another job, you built a jewelry line, like no one has done what you've done. And so owning that as your power, even sometimes if you just have to tell yourself that and you don't believe it, there's some psychology to that. And so that's how I, you know, coach my clients and think about my own journey. Like worthiness is a practice, it's a muscle.
So beautiful and so relatable. I don't know if anyone felt that in their soul, that we've all been in a situation like that. It's so real. And you mentioned something in the beginning of that, talking about nobody's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Are anybody entrepreneurs in the room?
Yeah.
Even outside of entrepreneurship, does anyone struggle with perfectionism or perfectionist tendencies? Like, it's gotta, okay. Like, yeah, we're all in good company. We can start a support group for all of us together. We'll meet here. We come back here like every Tuesday and like chat about it. But no, I want to get into that a little bit more because I have struggled with this as well. I did graphic design for over 10 years. Like, I competed in fitness professionally. Like, I wanted everything. My husband can probably share a lot about his experience with that. But it feels so real when you're in it that we can't even press post on our social media, or we can't make a move over here because not everything is perfectly lined up the way we think it should be. And this kind of ties in both of, you know, even if you are an entrepreneur or not, you can feel yourself probably in this in any area of your life. I really want you to kind of share more on if you've struggled with this as well and how to really make that next move if you're looking to create something, build something, show up differently as a parent, show up differently as a partner, whatever that looks like, and kind of move through some of those sticky points. Like, you can feel it in your body sometimes, right? Like, when you're going to do something, you're like, it doesn't look good enough, I'm going to get judged, or they're going to think this about me. So I would love you to kind of share a little bit more if you've gone through that and what you've done to work through that.
Yeah. Well, I am an actively recovering perfectionist myself. I feel like my perfectionist tendencies have ebbed and flowed across different areas of my life. You know, used to be severely body dysmorphic and had a lot of issues in that part of my life. And then it was about trying to fix and perfect my husband. And then it was about perfecting, you know, my image and then perfecting my team so no one would quit because I needed them. And at the end of the day, you know, I've learned that the reason why we have, you know, the source of perfectionism is control. And we don't want our, you know, husband to go into his job and have a bad day because he's going to be unsafe, right? Or we hang on to these perfectionist tendencies because at the end of the day we don't want to die. Like, our nervous systems are so fried and wired and hooked into being dysregulated based on what we think is going to happen to us if we aren't perfect, if the people around us, the people we care about, aren't perfect. And one of the biggest tools and practices, and I know you do this much in your work, is embodied practices and getting into our bodies, simply feeling safe to be in our physical bodies. That experience of realizing how much I was leaving my body, disassociating, especially when I had fears of perfectionism come up, I was not fully present and grounded in the physical body called Jessica. And are you all familiar with the chakra system? Many of you are, yeah. Yeah, amazing. So there's seven chakras, right? So there's the crown, which is purple, and then there's our third eye, which is indigo. Our throat is blue. Our heart is green. So these are the, you know, spiritual, if you will, upper chakras, and then our heart is the center that connects the spiritual with the material world. And then we have our sacral, which is our personal power. Solar plexus, which is yellow, our personal power. Our sacral, which is our womb space where we create the universe, ladies. And then we have our root chakra, which is our, you know, sex organs, essentially. And I had been completely running over those lower chakras all of my life, which caused me to burn out, which caused me to hustle, which just left me, you know, depressed, caused a lot of escapism in my life because I was like, I don't want to be here, so I'm just going to go up and leave. And rooting, learning how to root and to feel safe physically here in my life, on this planet, around other people, you know, being seen, all of that comes down to safety. And that has really been my work over my actual word for the year for 24. This year is embodiment. I'm working on it in real time. And I just feel like we often aren't safe as women in the world we live in, right? It's part of the problem here. And so really cultivate a sense of inner safety allows the perfectionism to, and the noise of the perfectionism to go down. At least that's been my experience. And rooting can be, there's a couple practices in my book about how to root and how to turn that online, but just go outside and stand in the grass, put your feet on the earth, bare feet on the earth, really feel the vibration of Mother Earth. Take a few deep breaths, feel the sun on your face, gets you, it actually physically, scientifically regulates your nervous system, but it gets you grounded. And when we're grounded, we can't be as rocked by the things that aren't going so perfect in our lives.
Beautiful. We're gonna open to Q&A here in one moment, but I wanted you to touch quickly on, because we're sitting in a room full of women.
Yeah.
And has anyone ever experienced some sort of sisterhood wound, feeling like they don't fit in? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't love that for all of you, but like, we all are connected there. And I really just wanted you to share quickly on that. If you do guys have any questions or things you'd like to share, because I want to open it and make sure everyone gets a chance to talk. If people have some questions you want to open it up to.
Nobody? I love questions.
Okay, great. We're going to get to questions in 1 second. Perfect. I wanted to make sure before I'm just like, anybody? but I wanted you to touch on that really quickly, because that's been something deeply I've had to work through, and actually I get pretty emotional when I talk about it, and I'm so thankful for you.
I'm so thankful for you.
Because you are like a sister now, and you know, I tell my husband that all the time. Just how powerful it is and how it can really elevate you to have this type of support, and how you truly change when you feel seen and heard. And even if you're just sitting in a room and not saying anything, you can just feel safe in that way. So I'd love you to just expand on that quickly before we open it to Q&A.
Yeah. So who was bullied? I was. By the boys and the girls, right? Weren't the girls meaner?
Yes.
It's a travesty. It's a travesty. And that's the sister wound, and that stays with us. I was never cool. I was never in the popular crowd. I floated from clique to clique. I didn't even have a clique. I was like a drifter. I never belonged. I never felt like I fit in. I grew up in a very affluent community. My parents were self-made people. We were, you know, lived in a small house, like drove very modest cars, and all the girls at school had like Chanel bags, and that's not an exaggeration. So I never felt like I belonged, and it was a deep, deep part of my insecurity. It was a deep part of my unworthiness. You know, why I felt like I had to prove myself growing up and, you know, post-college. And when I got into my 20s, I became, you know, an entrepreneur, which I know not everybody else in the room is, but I had agency at that stage in my life to start making my own friendships. And did I attract all the greatest high-vibe friends? No, but one of my favorite expressions is like vibe up or vibe out. Like as you grow and you vibrate higher, like some people can ride with the new version of you and some people can't, and they vibe out. And that can be very painful, but it's often and always a gift. And coming into later adulthood, when I started forming true friends, not only did it heal that little girl in me, but it expanded me professionally. It opened up doors to like who I could be and where I could travel and what I could do with my career. And the spirit of generosity is one of my core values. And like, what's mine is yours. Like to be in a room with a woman, especially in my space, like built huge success, and then you're like, here's my playbook, girl. Here's how I did it, like the shortcuts. And when you show up as that woman, you start to attract women like that. And frankly, I was so, Mallory came to my retreat in 23 in Nashville. I had been running my agency for 6 years at that point. I was burnt out, coming off of Egypt. You know, I had men and women clients in my agency, but it was a very like 9-to-5 kind of office life running an agency. And I'm like, you know what, I just want to host a retreat for myself. Like, I'm going to invite a bunch of women. I'm going to pour into them. They're going to have the best time. But I want to be in the woods somewhere beautiful at a luxury property myself and hang out with cool women. Like, I want this for me. And I hosted my retreat, and 17 beautiful women came. And that sent me on a whole new journey of, like, really what I'm here to do with my life. And, you know, not to wax too historical, and I'll make this quick. In my research for my book, The Light Work, I got all those messages, and many of the goddesses, all of the goddesses, shared with me that women, for hundreds of thousands of years, the dawn of this human civilization, before the 4,000 years of patriarchy, for hundreds of thousands of years before the last 4,000 years, which is simply when shit just got written down for the first time, this planet was run by women. We lived in a matriarchal society. We lived in matriarchal systems where men and women were equally valued. And the importance of women showing up and taking care of one another is actually our true nature. And to really come home to that within yourself and to see every other woman on this planet, I talk about this in my book, is the sisterhood tree, like with a capital S, not little sisterhood, like hashtag women empowerment on TikTok a billion times, like it's kind of bullshit. Walking it, like recognizing, like, okay, if I'm on this tree and I'm down here, my branch is here and her branch is there, my branch is equally as important because it's reaching out and touching this part of the universe and she's touching her part of it, all part of this beautiful connected tree with our own necessary leaves and expressions. And it doesn't mean that every woman has to be your best friend. It's not possible. But seriously, just to look at another woman and catch yourself, like, we do it, we judge, like, cute outfit, I don't like her bag, you know, like, really, like, despite age, outfit, race, status, we're all on the same fucking team, because we're women. And when you walk through life like that, you attract women who understand that too, and that's the best thing in life, to have friends and a circle like that. So, that's what I gotta say about that.
Beautiful, right? So beautiful. I would love to open it. Bridget, I know you had a question, so yeah, I'm going to have Allison going to bring you the microphone.
Perfect.
Yes, say your name and where you're from.
I am Bridget Morris, and I am following you for several years. Aww. I know I've probably posted many comments.
I recognize your name, babe.
Emailed you.
Yeah.
I was over here, so when Mallory said she was hosting you, I was like, this is crazy. Because I remember when I first found your podcast, I was like, this woman is literally speaking to my soul. Like, her just talking about your branding and how you were, like, following your soul. And, like, you were like, I don't care. I am going to Egypt. And you came back, you're like, I saw aliens.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing. I was cooking for my, like, newborn. And I was like, this is insane. And I couldn't stop. So, like, it's incredible. Like, you talk about your vision board. And then I literally had a vision board. Like, I need to meet her. And so this is just a rare full circle. But I would love for you to, I've been married for 12 years, I have 3 kids. I would love for you to talk about how your marriage has just adapted to all of these different seasons and how you've maintained your strength and, you know, maintained, like, partnership and best friends. And then you guys are building your house in Nashville and you moved from Chicago and, like, you came back and you're like, I almost divorced him.
I did.
I think it's very normal. I feel like you've been married more than 10 years, like, you've gone through a lot of shit.
Yes, you have.
So, yes. Like, could you go a little deeper on that?
Sure, yes. Thank you. It's so good to meet you. Did you listen to the... So my husband was recently on my podcast, and it was called What to Do When You're Spiritual and Your Partner's Not. And so anybody familiar with the Harry Potter books? Okay, of course. So my husband is a muggle, okay? Full-on muggle. I'm a Gryffindor, not a Ravenclaw. I feel like my higher self chose him on purpose for a lot of reasons, but you are absolutely right. When you've been with someone for over 10 years, like, you have been through some shit. And life pretty much threw us like a shit sandwich our first year and a half. Like, he lost his job. I was in all this debt from my first business that failed. I had to take a corporate job that kept me on 4 airplanes a week for 2 years. We barely saw each other. So we had thrown out the D word. Often we took that off the table about halfway through. And it was, you know, through my many rock bottoms, but I had a really bad rock bottom when we first got married, because my first business before Simply Be, my first business failed. And so I started doing personal development work. I started doing personal growth work. I've always been woo-woo, but like I got real into spirituality like in my mid-30s, in the beginning of our marriage. And for the longest time, I was like, you have to do this with me, Brian. You have to like try the plant medicines, and you got to travel with me, and you've got to like listen to this podcast. And the more that I tried to do that, like the bigger the wedge became, and he resented me for trying to tell him what to do, because we all know that when we tell our husbands to do, they won't fucking do it, but then like the next day someone will bring it up at dinner and be like, really, I should try that, right? Can you please, like I'm not alone. So, all right, that's my husband. So what happened was, I don't know, got the memo, however many years ago, I stopped trying, and I just started doing me. And it caused a bit of distance for a while, because I couldn't relate to him as much, and he wasn't relating to me clearly. But he watched how my life started to expand. He watched how I started attracting beautiful, high-vibe people into my life. I started making a lot of money. I started like feeling really good in my body. You know, I was happier, frankly. And he watched me be the like living example of what I was preaching instead of preaching it. And you know, I've held his feet to the fire about a few things, like, but he drinking being one of them. Okay, so my husband's a huge drinker most of our marriage, and I microdose mushrooms. That's a part of my practice, and they're very. You can drive. You can raise your kids. You can. They sound. They're not like. Drugs, okay? They're not. I think this is a safe room. I can say that truth. And my husband was like, can I try one? And I was like, sure. So he started taking them. And I didn't push him on him, like nothing. And he, after a few months, like woke up one day and was like, I don't think I want to drink anymore. Drinking was a part of his lifestyle, and drinking's not a part of mine. And that was another wedge. And, you know, he has really become a student, like a more open, humble student, but on his own terms, like not to his wife, but to like his own choices and discernment, and has been like the Brian that he is today is not the Brian that I met. And I will also say too, we've invested a lot in our marriage with therapy and coaching. I don't think, I understand that's a privilege and a luxury if you can afford that. You know, when we went on that journey and really started to invest, I was like, well, what's more important? Like a really nice pair of shoes and a vacation or my freaking marriage? It's the best investment I've ever made. And so we have had support that has really helped us through. We worked with her pretty much every single week for about a year or two. And then once a month, and now we have her on maintenance whenever there's an emergency, which there often is. So, you know, I feel like I guess the last thing I'll say for those that are in relationships or not, I chose well from the beginning. Like, I chose a man who, like, allowed me to be me. It was me trying him to make him like me. That was often the root of a lot of, not that he's perfect at all. But that has been, you know, our journey, and we're more a team than we've ever been. He works with me. He's my CFO of my companies, and it's when people ask me like, what I'm on podcasts and stuff. People are like, what's something about you that people wouldn't know, or like, what are you the most proud of in your life? I'm always like, my marriage, because it's taken so much work. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Thank you for that.
Right. Yes. My husband got there. He always says attraction rather than promotion, right? Like a bottle that he loves.
I love that. Right? I love that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm like the he was the you and I was the Brian for a little while. Uh-huh. So
I can see that.
I get it. Like, you tell me to do something, I'm never gonna do it. Like, I'm with you. I'm like, I don't know. That's how I am. I think it's gotten better, right?
Say it or you die.
Yeah, if you disagree with me. Who else has a question? I know. No, yep, Amy.
Beautiful.
Name where you're
kind of knocking anything over. I echo Bridget, and this is a surreal manifestation. And it's beautiful to be here surrounded by so many people and I know and love and have spent time with. I feel like I'm personally in a chapter of change. Stuff that I don't want to change, things that I'm excited about changing. And as somebody who's watched your journey from, you know, one identity into another, I'm just wondering what is some of, like, the best or top wisdom you've either gleaned or been given during this time frame.
Yeah, beautiful.
And what's your name?
Oh, sorry, I'm Amy.
So I have found that people are fascinated by change. A lot of people feel stuck or not where they're ultimately wanting to be at any given moment, like a lot. And a couple things happened when I sold my business and I rebranded my life and kind of came out as the spiritual closet. I had people unfollow me. I had people write me and say, I don't want this spiritual stuff. I'm here for business. I'm like, okay, exactly. So that's going to happen. But I found 99% of people were like so supportive and so leaned in and genuinely interested and doors opened for me and relationships unfolded that I could have never predicted would happen. In fact, like people that I would want to be connected to with for years all of a sudden were like, want to come on my podcast or like DMing me. It was fascinating. And I think what's really beautiful when you step into your truth is forget like the doors that will open with people you want to know. It's like you're giving people you don't even know permission. You get to be that example and inspiration. And if you're not allowing yourself to evolve, you know, I'm not even talking about on Instagram. I'm talking about on your life. You're robbing people of the opportunity to activate themselves. And you get to be that inspiration for others. And we all have that power and ability. And, you know, I felt like I was living in a skin that wasn't mine for like the last couple years of Simply Be. And I still had to show up as that girl. And it caused me a lot of darkness. And when I finally stepped out into this new version of myself, I didn't really, I cared, but I didn't. Like it felt good that people were like, rah, rah. And then it was like, all right, don't follow me anymore. That's kind of annoying. Nothing was as exquisite as the feeling of me living who I wanted to be and that expression of my own authenticity, which I know I've talked about for years, but I think, you know, having really good inner circle, keeping your besties and your family and whoever those are in your life closest to you, having those confidants, you don't need a million, you need a good two or three, and trusting that you're not responsible for anyone else's reaction. But most people will react better than you think when you're on purpose and you're living your truth.
Well, and so relatable. I don't know if anyone felt that in their soul, that we've all been in a situation like that. It's so, so real. And you mentioned something in the beginning of that, talking about nobody's perfect, right? Are anybody entrepreneurs in the room? Yeah. Even outside of entrepreneurship, does anyone struggle with perfectionism or perfectionist tendencies? Like, it's gotta, okay. Like, yeah, we're all in good company. We can start a support group for all of us together. We'll meet here. We can come back here like every Tuesday and like chat about it. But no, I wanna get into that a little bit more because I have struggled with this as well. I did graphic design for over 10 years. Like, I competed in fitness professionally. Like, I wanted everything. My husband can probably share a lot about his experience with that. But it feels so real when you're in it that we can't even press post on our social media or we can't make a move over here because not everything is perfectly lined up the way we think it should be. And this kind of ties in both of, you know, even if you are an entrepreneur or not, you can feel yourself probably in this in any area of your life. I really want you to kind of share more on if you struggled with this as well and how to really make that next move. If you're looking to create something, build something, show up differently as a parent, show up differently as a partner, whatever that looks like, and kind of move through some of those sticky points. Like you can feel it in your body sometimes, right? Like when you're going to do something, you're like, doesn't look good enough. I'm going to get judged or they're going to think this about me. So I would love you to kind of share a little bit more if you've gone through that and what you've done to work through that.
Yeah. Well, I am an actively recovering perfectionist myself.
Same girl.
I feel like my perfectionist tendencies have ebbed and flowed across different areas of my life. You know, used to be severely body dysmorphic and had a lot of issues in that part of my life, and then it was about trying to fix and perfect my husband, and then it was about perfecting, you know, my image, and then perfecting my team so no one would quit because I needed them. And at the end of the day, you know, I've learned that the reason why we have, you know, the source of perfectionism is control. And we don't want our, you know, husband to go into his job and have a bad day because he's going to be unsafe, right? Or we hang on to these perfectionist tendencies because at the end of the day, we don't want to die. Like, our nervous systems are so fried and wired and hooked into being dysregulated based on what we think is going to happen to us if we aren't perfect, if the people around us, the people we care about, aren't perfect. And one of the biggest tools and practices, and I know you do this much in your work, is embodiment practices, getting into our bodies, simply feeling safe to be in our physical bodies. That experience of realizing how much I was leaving my body, disassociating, especially when I had fears of perfectionism come up, I was not fully present and grounded in the physical body called Jessica. And are you all familiar with the chakra system? Many of you are, yeah.
Allison's got some bracelets back there too. Amazing, shout out to Allison.
So there's seven chakras, right? So there's the crown, which is purple, and then there's our third eye, which is indigo. Our throat is blue. Our heart is green. So these are the you know, spiritual, if you will, upper chakras, and then our heart is the center that connects the spiritual with the material world. And then we have our sacral, which is our personal power. Solar plexus, which is yellow, our personal power. Our sacral, which is our womb space, where we create the universe, ladies. And then we have our root chakra, which is our, you know, sex organs, essentially. And I had been completely running over those lower chakras all of my life, which caused me to burn out, which caused me to hustle, which just left me, you know, depressed. Caused a lot of escapism in my life, because I was like, I don't want to be here, so I'm just going to go up and leave. And rooting, learning how to root and to feel safe physically here in my life, on this planet, around other people, you know, being seen, all of that comes down to safety. And that has really been my work, over my actual work for the year, for 24. This year is embodiment. I'm working on it in real time. And I just feel like we often aren't safe as women in the world we live in, right? Part of the problem here. And so to really cultivate a sense of inner safety allows the perfectionism to, and the noise of the perfectionism to go down. At least that's been my experience. And rooting can be, there's a couple practices in my book about how to root and how to turn that online, but just go outside and stand in the grass. Put your feet on the earth, bare feet on the earth. Really feel the vibration of Mother Earth. Take a few deep breaths, feel the sun on your face. Gets you, it actually physically, scientifically regulates your nervous system, but it gets you grounded. And when we're grounded, we can't be as rocked by the things that aren't going so perfect.
We're gonna open to Q&A here in one moment, but I wanted you to touch quickly on, because we're sitting in a room full of women, and has anyone ever experienced some sort of sisterhood wound, feeling like they don't fit in? Yeah, mm-hmm, yep. I don't love that for all of you, but like, we all are connected there. And I really just wanted you to share quickly on that. Do you guys have any questions or things you'd like to share? Because I want to open it and make sure everyone gets a chance to talk. Do people have some questions you want to open it up to? Nobody has any questions. Okay, great. We're going to get to questions in 1 second. Perfect. I wanted to make sure before I'm just like, anybody? but I wanted you to touch on that really quickly, because that's been something deeply I've had to work through, and I get pretty emotional when I talk about it, and I'm so thankful for you, because you are like a sister now, and, you know, I tell my husband that all the time. Just how powerful it is and how it can really elevate you to have this type of support and how you can truly change when you feel seen and heard. And even if you're just sitting in a room and not saying anything, you can just feel safe in that way. So I'd love you to just expand on that quickly before we open it to Q&A. Yeah.
That imposter syndrome is, again, back to the like safety thing. Like, it's our ego really wanting us to just not die. But we're never going to die. And when you push through it and you move through the fire, the fear, and you show up anyway and you realize you don't die, you upgrade. It's always an upgrade. I mean, did anybody see, if you do follow me on social media, I just did a big, for my book launch, I did a big event on Lionsgate. It was called Breakthrough to a New You. Were you there? So you guys, that was, I have never been more terrified in my life than that event. I had like 3,000 people dial in this big virtual event studio, watching me on a Zoom. And that was like my Olympics. I trained like Simone Biles all summer for that thing. Like I was like in my living room, like practicing my moves, and I was shitting my pants. Like it was so, I actually kicked myself until the day before every day. I'm like, why did I do this? Like why did I design this event 6 months ago and not actually think about how I was gonna feel like leading up to it? Michael Beckwith, I don't know if anyone knows who he is. He's one of the most formidable spiritual voices of our time. He wrote the foreword to my book. He's a friend, but he was gonna be there. He's like Oprah Winfrey's spiritual guide. Like he's one of the biggest masters of the space, and he was my special guest, and he was gonna be on site all day. I'm like, Michael Beckwith's gonna be there watching me. Who am I? I mean, all these thoughts running through my head. And, you know, I prepared, yes, but I was terrified. And I will hands down say that was the best day of my life.
How about that?
Not because it was just a beautiful celebration and it went off without a hitch and lots of people showed up, but because I moved through that imposter syndrome fully and literally a different person when it was over. I feel like it was like a quantum leap. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my higher self designed that day for me to do, not to sell thousands of books, but so that I could feel that power inside myself in a whole new level. Mm-hmm. And so when we're granted opportunities that freak us out, they're invitations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I was sweating, like not sleeping, like yeah. Was going to the bathroom, you know, like that.
You showed up, like,
but I showed up and seriously, yeah. I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, the first 5 to 10, 20 minutes, like, was, you know, a six-hour event that I had to carry. And 25 minutes in, I was having the time of my life, you know? So, but it's real, and we know we don't die. Like, our little self, our egos, our, you know, the part of us that is afraid is just trying to keep us safe. But we walk through the fire, you come out on the other side so much stronger. So I call my therapist. No, I'm just kidding. No, I do, actually. I call her a lot. I call her a lot. Okay, so, you know, practices is really like the journaling, the meditation, like the doing the work like that. That's practices and techniques that I do to just bring me back to center. But I will say the most significant thing that I have learned in relating to that part of me or that past version of me or that avatar, as I like to call her, is to not shame that version of me, to not look back at that version of me like, God damn it, she sucks, why is she back? But to recognize that she is an intrinsic part of me that I will always have to be integrating, and therefore that makes her an angel, not a demon, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
To really honor that girl, while she struggled and hustled and killed herself and was ragefully bitchy at times because she was so overwhelmed, like, that girl got me here. That girl got me here. And I don't want to remember her for all the shit. I want to remember her for the beauty, too. And so having a real loving, gentle voice for yourself in those moments, as well as those past identities, has really helped me to embody, back to that word, all of who I am today. And there was a very significant moment actually at the beginning of this year where she came back and I was like, I thought she was gone. And I thought I killed her. I thought I left her in Egypt, you know? And, you know, she, if in working with her and talking to her and journaling as her, that's the thing that I practice doing, where I let her come through and say what she had to say, I realized that there was, I was being dismissive, and that was why she kept coming back and haunting me. And so to really honor her, not as a ghost of, you know, Christmas past or whatever, but like an angel on my spirit team now, that's been a game changer for me.
That's what I gotta say about that.
It's beautiful, right? So beautiful. I would love to open it. Bridget, I know you had a question. So, yep, I'm going to have Allison's going to bring you the microphone.
Perfect.
Say your name and where are you from?
I am Bridget Morris, and I am following you for several years. I know I've probably posted many comments.
I recognize your name.
Emailed you lots of times over the years. So when Mallory said she was hosting you, I was like, this is crazy. Because I remember when I first found your podcast, I was like, this woman is literally speaking to my soul. Like, her just talking about your branding and how you were, like, following your soul. And, like, you were like, I don't care. I am going to Egypt. And you came back. You're like, I saw aliens. Uh-huh. Like, the whole thing. I was like, I was looking for my, like, newborn. And I was like, this is insane. And I was like, I couldn't stop. So, like, it's just, it's incredible. Like, you talk about your vision board. And I literally had a vision board. Like, I need to meet her. And so this is just a very full circle. But I would love for you to, I've been married for 12 years, I have 3 kids. I would love for you to talk about how your marriage has just adapted to all of these different seasons and how you've maintained your strength and, you know, maintain like partnership and best friends. And I know you guys are building your house in Nashville and you moved from Chicago and like you came back and you're like, I almost divorced him. And I think it's like very normal if you feel like you've been married more than 10 years, like you've gone through a lot of shit. So, like, could you go a little deeper on that?
Sure.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you. It's so great.
Just like 7 or let me know at like
8:05. So my husband was recently on my podcast, and it was called What to Do When You're Spiritual and Your Partner's Not. And so anybody familiar with the Harry Potter books?
Yeah.
Okay, of course. So my husband is a muggle. Okay? Full on muggle. I'm a Gryffindor. Not a Ravenclaw. I feel like my higher self chose him on purpose for a lot of reasons, but we, like, you are absolutely right. When you've been with someone for over 10 years, like, you have been through some shit. And life pretty much threw us like a shit sandwich our first year and a half. Like, he lost his job. I was in all this debt from my first business that failed. I all had to take a corporate job that kept me on 4 airplanes a week for 2 years. We barely saw each other. So we had thrown out the D word often. We took that off the table about halfway through. And it was, you know, through my many rock bottoms, but I had a really bad rock bottom when we first got married because my first business, the Forcibly Be, my first business failed. And so I started doing personal development work. I started doing personal growth work. I've always been woo-woo, but like I got real into spirituality like in my mid-30s, beginning of our marriage. And for the longest time, I was like, you have to do this with me, Brian. You have to, like, try the plant medicines, and you got to travel with me, and you got to, like, listen to this podcast. And the more that I tried to do that, like, the bigger the wedge became. And he resented me for trying to tell him what to do, because we all know that when we tell our husbands to do something, they won't fucking do it, and then, like, the next day someone will bring it up at dinner. I'm like, no, I have to try that. Like, I'm not alone. So, all right, that's my husband. So what happened was, I don't know, got the memo however many years ago, I stopped trying. And I just started doing me. And it caused a bit of distance for a while because I couldn't relate to him as much and he wasn't relating to me clearly. But he watched how my life started to expand. He watched how I started attracting beautiful, high-vibe people into my life. I started making a lot of money. I started like feeling really good in my body. You know, I was that happier, frankly. And he watched me be the like living example of what I was preaching instead of preaching it. And, you know, I've held his feet to the fire about a few things, like, but he, drinking being one of them, okay? So my husband's a huge drinker most of our marriage. And I microdose mushrooms. That's a part of my practice. And they're very... You can drive, you can raise your kids,
They sound, they're not like drugs. I think this is a safe room, I can say that. And my husband was like, can I try one? And I was like, sure. So he started taking them. And I didn't try push him on him, like nothing. And he, after a few months, like woke up one day, I was like, I don't think I want to drink anymore. Drinking was a part of his lifestyle. I'm drinking, not part of mine. Mm-hmm. And that was another way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he has really become a student, like a more open, humble student, but on his own terms, like not to his wife, but to like his own choices and discernment, and has been like the Brian that he is today is not the Brian that I met. And I will also say too, we've invested a lot in our marriage with therapy and coaching. I don't think, I understand that's a privilege and a luxury if you can afford that. You know, when we went on that journey and when we started to invest, it's like, well, what's more important? Like a really nice pair of shoes and a vacation or my freaking marriage? It's the best investment I've ever made. And so we have had support that has really helped us through. We worked with her pretty much every single week for about a year or two, and then once a month, and now we have our own maintenance whenever there's an emergency. So, you know, I feel like the last thing I'll say for those that are in relationships or not, I chose well from the beginning. Like, I chose a man who, like, allowed me to be me. It was me trying him to make him like me. That was often the root of a lot of, not that he's perfect at all. But that has been, you know, our journey. And we're more a team than we've ever been. He works with me. He's my CFO of my companies. And it's when people ask me, like, what, you know, I'm on podcasts and stuff. People are like, what's something about you that people wouldn't know? Or like, what are you most proud of in your life? I'm always like, my marriage. Because it's taking so much work. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
That's beautiful.
I have one of my inner circles is my best friend, Megan, who you've met. She's been a marriage. She and I have been friends for 15 years, and we take an international trip every single year together. It's like our religion. We didn't get to do it during the pandemic, but we've gone to like all the places. When I said I've been to a million countries, not, I've been with her. And we were talking about going somewhere in 22, like at the beginning of the year, and she and I both were like, why don't we try Egypt? Like, it just came into our field, like spin the globe, which one this time kind of thing. And she's good friends with a woman based in Tulum who hosts retreats, like pilgrimages to Egypt. And we were thinking about going in November because that was when our schedules lined up. And then a week after we had decided, let's look into Egypt this year, she got an email from her friend saying, I'm assembling a group to go in November to Egypt, not knowing that we had decided to try and check it out. So I feel like I say this in my book, like I chose it and it called me at the same time. It was very, very serendipitous. And we went with 17 people. You can go to Egypt on your own if you'd like, but I wouldn't recommend it. Like, you want to go with guides. You do. You need bodyguards. You need guides. Like, you need to, not only that, because it's an interesting place. It's a very activated place. You want to go, if you ever go, you want to go with guides that have, for lack of a better term, like the hookup at the temples, to get you in privately, to let you go to parts of them that most people don't get to go to. We got to go in that way. And it was the most beautiful 15 days of my life. I'm going back a couple times, many times. That's how it happened. Yeah.
Right? Yes. My husband back there, he always says attraction rather than promotion, right? That's like a motto that he lives by.
I love
that. Right? Yeah, and it's funny because I'm like the opposite. He was the you, and I was the Brian for a little while. So
I can see that.
I get it. I'm like, you tell me to do something, I'm never going to do it. And he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. It's just how I am. I've since gotten better, right?
Say it or you die.
Thanks. Yeah, if you disagree with me. Who else has a question? I know. Yep, Amy.
Beautiful.
Me, like, do you know
yeah.
what I'm
yeah.
Okay, thanks.
So are you going to self-publish the book?
I don't want to.
You want to go with a publisher?
I
yeah.
do.
So this is, I'll give you kind of like the quick 101 on what a publisher does. A publisher pays you in advance, they help you distribute the book, and they give you the accolade of saying you're with a published house. That's it. At the end of the day, you've got to sell your book, whether you publish it with them or you self-publish it. You've said you've been writing a book for 100 years, so you clearly have a message inside you. And you care about that message, I'm sure. And you believe in that message. And you want people to read that message because you believe it'll help them, right?
I do.
Right. And so we live in a beautiful world, unlike 20 years ago, this is how I at least look at it, where we can reach people across the world with the push of a button. We couldn't do that, you know, 20 years ago. And there's a lot of noise and garbage out there on that thing called social media, but it's a tool and it's a vehicle, and you don't need to have millions of followers or hundreds of thousands or even thousands to impact people. Now, a publisher does look at your author platform. That's part of what gets you a deal. But there are plenty of publishers that are less interested in that and really are looking for just really strong material that they want to stand behind. So I would put together your, finish your book. And one of my favorite secret hacks, this is how I got my agent, because you'll want an agent, a literary agent to represent you. Read, go through all of your favorite books of authors who have like-minded genres as the book you're writing. Flip to the acknowledgments at the back of the book. Every book has acknowledgments and every author thanks their agent. And you look at who's their agent. This is, I have 10 books of my 10 aspirational thought leader women in MySpace, I did this. And that's how I got my agent. I reached out and I said, I'm friends with so-and-so, even though I really wasn't. And it's true. And that is how I got my agent. And if I don't know anything about your book, but I imagine it's in a really specific and cool genre. And yeah.
Did you really?
And there are some really awesome publishers out there that are publishing books that are not mainstream, but are getting out into the world. And to really kind of take yourself out of it. Like, you know, when I wrote my first book, B, I had a very clear intention that I wanted to be national. I was like, this is my book one. I want to use this book to be a vehicle for my business, blow it up. It did. It worked. It nearly killed me. For the light work, my intentions for this book are so, so different. My book is just to simply get the book in as many hands as of women who need to read it. That's it. So if I make it about, like, I'm, you know, I've got to show up and, you know, or I'm too afraid to show up, I'm making it about me, not the women who need the book. Does that make sense? So I would tune into that and get out of the way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Mallory, can we just applaud for how beautiful this event is? Like, Activate Your Light is our blending of the brands that we came up together. She brought it to life. So I'm going to be really candid. So when I'm helping other people with their brands, like, which I do, like, to me it's all about, it's really kind of even hard to explain. Like, I have this, like, it almost feels like it's like a quantum dashboard. And when I'm working with somebody, and I'll answer the question about my own brand in a second, but like, I just see things light up based on that person's stories, that their energy, the things that they're not even realizing they're saying. And I'm just able to download it and like put it together really quickly. So for me, it's about story. It's about feeling. It's about energy. And that informs the messaging. So I'm like a messaging master, and I shouldn't say that about myself, but like, I'm a messaging master for my clients. Like, I can really help people crack down really quickly and articulate for them in a very clear way what they could never say for themselves. And I get those intuitive hits too. Like, I'm a word nerd. Like, I love thesaurus.com. Like, I read a ton of books. I actually read more fiction personally than I read nonfiction. I really love words. So for me, because I'm a writer at heart, so that's really what inspires me and keeps my brain fresh is like content, reading content. I have a creative partner in my business. Her nickname is the Prism, because I'm the light, and like I shine it through her, and she's colorful. And together, we nerd out on fonts and hex code colors and photography styles and, you know, gradients and icons. Like I live in Pinterest and Canva and like mood board stuff, and I'll just get a hit on like a color and a feeling. And then from there, I'm able to be like, that color would look good with this color, and this font would look great with that shade. And let's put a mood board together of some like cosmic imagery and mountains and iridescent shells and it feathers and like it and just kind of throw it up against the wall and then like refine it. And I really believe in the power of a very clear visual brand identity and a very clear visual, message. And those two things should be like yin-yang, like talk to each other, intrinsically connected to build a brand from that place of clarity. Because like I say in my first book, branding is an exercise in clarity, and you have to really pierce through the noise with a razor sharp look and feel and a razor sharp consistent message. And I think really the game is consistency of like staying the course of your brand so that people remember you, because you are who you say you are over and over and over again. That's how people see you, it's that simple. So I definitely love to brainstorm, whiteboard, like get in my own creative space when I'm like thinking of brand stuff for myself, but I do that really well with my clients simply by getting them to just talk, you know, and then I'm able to synthesize. That helps, if that makes sense. Does that answer the question? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Beautiful questions. As we wrap this part up tonight, like I said, there's going to be dessert coming out. And I just want to take a moment to thank you for coming here and being in Michigan. And I know how much it means to everybody in this room just to sit in the energy. That's one of the biggest things I've heard from the women tonight, is just the energy in the room. I don't know if you can feel it, just kind of when you come in here, you can like absorb the energy and it just feels so good. And coming up this November, Jessica lives in Nashville, and she's actually going to be coming to guest speak at the retreat I'm hosting. And this is just, yeah, I know.
November we get
12th through the 16th. Yep. So you'll see in all of your gift bags, there's a little information, but I would love to personally invite anybody who does want, that's, I experienced it as myself as a retreat attendee on her retreat and how powerful it is and the friendships that come from that. And as the ones that I host as well, some of you ladies are in the room that have been a part of it. And I'm just so thankful for all of you. And we get Jess for like a half a day. So you really get an intimate setting with Jessica and I in Nashville in November. So I would love to personally invite anybody who's feeling called to that sisterhood experience to truly activate. It's incredible. So Jessica will be up here as we wrap up this part of the night. If you want your book signed, she'll be up here signing books, so we'll kind of just get a line and taking photos. Jamie's here, and if you want to use your phone, we have a lot of Jessicas. Jessica cubed is what she, this is Jessica, Jessica, and Jessica. So they will be here to assist if you guys want to use your phone for photo, video, anything like that. She'll be signing books right here up front, and there'll be some dessert. The dessert is here, so help yourself to any dessert, any of the food that's there, and just continue to shop. And then thank you all for spending your Friday night with us. This was incredible. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, Quantum Queen. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you love this show, please make sure you've subscribed and that you've left us a rating and review. It helps get the show out to more activated women just like yourself. And if you really want to continue the conversation outside of the podcast, come find me over on Instagram at Mallory Campbell, and make sure you're following the show at Permission to Activate. And if you really want to go deeper, head on over to themallorycampbell.com and subscribe to my email list, where I share weekly energy drops right to your inbox every Sunday. See you on the next episode of the Permission to Activate podcast.